Good morning. Welcome to this episode of Old Ladies Know Stuff. And I don't do interviews very often. I think I've only interviewed two other people. But today I am super excited that I am going to be interviewing my friend Leanne Mancini because she has an amazing book out called Raising Kids to Follow Christ. And Instilling a Lifelong Trust in God. So we're going to be talking about her book today and all of the wonderful ministries that she has. So Leanne, I'm going to read your bio and then I'm just going to jump right in because I don't want to waste a minute. Leanne Mancini hosts the award-winning podcast Raising Christian Kids, available on all major platforms and streaming on KHCB Radio's Uplifted Station. She shares expert godly advice, biblically based wisdom, which is what I love about you, Leanne, and insightful tools for parenting children to bring them closer to Jesus. Also, she's an award-winning children's author, which this is just amazing, executive producer of the animated series Sea Kids, which can be viewed on Answers TV, PureFlix, Right Now Media, and Sea Kids TV. This series is based on her children's book, about cute, oh, such cute, colorful creatures. I have 15 grandkids. They love your books, who learn about God's morals and values and how to live those daily. I love this too. Leanne is an adjunct professor at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. So you're getting the weight of what we're going to learn here today, friends, as well as a sought-after speaker on topics such as Christian growth, biblical understanding, and children's spirituality. She received her BA in religious studies from Regent University, master's degree in Christian and classical studies and biblical theology studies from Knox Theological Seminary, and a master's in Christian studies from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Leanne and her husband, Guy, have two adult children and they make their home in South Florida. I couldn't not read the whole thing because I want them to get the weight of what we're going to be gaining from my dear friend, Leanne. So Leanne, welcome so much. And I am just going to ask you, first of all, what has been your favorite thing about launching this book?
Oh, wow. My favorite thing. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. You know how much I love and adore you. And yes, old ladies know stuff. So I'm glad to be an old lady and sharing stuff. Geez, what is best about the book? I don't even know. You know, the fact that people are just gravitating towards it and telling me that they are just so thankful that it is full of wise information, which is researched from the brightest minds in children's spirituality. I'm so thankful God put me on this path to do this research and to have the podcast and write the book. And so, yeah, just that it's helping families, and I'm thanking the Lord for it.
Praise the Lord. I have been so blessed to be able to read the entire book, and I just want to have as much as we can get from you into the minds of my audience is right in the thick of it. They are raising their kids, and they are longing for them to follow Christ. So you are speaking our language. So we want to glean from all of your old ladies know stuff wisdom. So the first question I want to ask you is, why is your book Raising Kids to Follow Christ an urgent read? Let me repeat that, an urgent read for Christian parents that are raising children today.
Well, let me just back up for a second. 5 years ago, when I started researching for this book, I was alarmed at the statistics that were showing 65% of our children from Christian families were walking away from their faith in college. Yeah. And so I said, yeah, we got to do something, Lord. There has to be something. So, you know, I like to research. So I started researching. And when I was getting all this information, that's when I started the podcast. And then I felt the Lord call me to put it into a book. Let's come up to today. Okay. Today, George Barna wrote a book called Raising Spiritual Champions. And his statistics from the Arizona Christian University, I believe that I'm correct with that, indicated that 70% of 13 to 14 year olds from Christian families, they don't believe Satan exists. Wow. That's crazy. 70%. 84%, this is even more shocking. 84% don't believe we're born into sin and need a savior.
Wow.
13 to 14 year olds from Christian families. And 70% don't believe in absolute moral truth. And then you go to the Christian pastors, and 50% actually believe that Jesus may have sinned on earth you know, in his human and his
this
human
is Christian form. Christian pastors.
Christian pastors who are teaching our children.
I mean, air quotes, Christian pastors.
Yeah, exactly. 53% believe in reincarnation as a possibility.
Oh my word.
So this is why it's urgent. And this is why we see our times, ourselves living in the times we're living in. We don't have strong Christians in the four pillars of society, academia, the media, the church, and government. Mm-hmm. Four pillars that run society.
Yeah.
So that's why it's urgent.
Yes, it is urgent. And I think parents sense the urgency. I mean, the sky is falling, the world's falling apart. And I always say it's not falling apart. It's falling into place for the second coming of our Savior, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God has chosen us in history to raise this generation to be ready for a world we really have no idea what they're going to have to be prepared to live out their faith and to follow Christ. So this is a great resource for that. So what's your advice to parents with children in public school systems that are struggling with what their kids are being taught or exposed to during the day? Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, well, you know, 80% of our children go to a public school because there's a lot of Christian families that can't afford a private school and cannot homeschool. So we have 80% of our children go to a public school. We don't have to go into the details of how horrible public schools are, and they're indoctrinating them in worldview, man's worldview. And so what we have to do as a Christian family is we have to double down on the things we do at home. Ken Han says we can no longer raise our children to have what he calls a Sunday school faith, where they go to Sunday school, we read Bible stories to them, and, you know, just... Yeah. It's a Sunday school faith. It worked back in the 50s and 60s, you know, but it doesn't work anymore. Yeah. And if I could, I'd like to read one little quote from Josh Movahill.
Yeah.
I think he just hit it right on the head. He says, could it be that one reason young people are doctrinally ignorant, spiritually confused, and living with a syncretic faith system is that we have reduced our teachings to a couple dozen moralistic stories found in most children's Bibles. Our children need the soul-gripping, life-altering, meat-based, Jesus-centered teachings of God's Word. So we have to really, what I call like Rosie Riveter in World War II, the parents rolled up their sleeves and got to work to fight the war.
Right.
We need to roll up our sleeves. We need to be prepared, prepare ourselves as parents to know God's word, to live God's word, and to teach God's word. According to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, that is our clarion call and our directives from the Lord.
Right. And it's a ministry that God's called us to. And I think that's what I loved about your book and about your admonition to your readers and even on your podcast. And, you know, we get to do a Digging Deeper episodes, you and I and Dr. Michelle Watson. Does she go by Canton too?
Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. Yes. I love our times together on that podcast.
Yes,
it's so much fun and
too.
It's so informative.
And there is an urgency, and it's easy to entertain our kids, and we think that we're just keeping them busy by entertaining them and keeping them out of trouble. Steve, my husband, was a youth minister for so many years, 18 years, and parents think if you could just entertain my kids to keep them busy, they won't do the wrong things. That's just not true. That is not a changed heart, and that's what I love about your resource. So in the book, you mentioned a thought that scared you to the core, an image that Jonathan Edwards, the North American revivalist, preached from 1700s, used to frighten parents. And it's a vivid example. Can you talk about that and your reaction to it?
Yes. When I was doing my research, I mean, I'm going to tell you, Rhonda, I researched and I read a lot of parenting books. And I went back to a book that talked about the 1700s. I actually have a book, and it's amazing. They were kind of facing some of the things that we were facing today, but not at this level. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the devil is always attacking families. He has from Adam and Eve, and he will continue to do until Christ returns. Mm-hmm. But Jonathan Edwards said to the parents, and this is during the revival in the 1700s, the Great Church Revival. He said, what if you got to heaven and you're sitting at the heavenly banquet table and you're looking around the table and you're seeing your spouse and your sisters and your brothers and your cousins and your friends and your aunts and uncles and grandparents, and you're rejoicing to see them. You're going to spend all eternity with them. But you don't see your children. Your children are not sitting at that table for all eternity, and you know where they are. That alone, when I read that, I still have the Holy Spirit goosebumps. When I read that, it startled me to the core. If you think about the final end of all things, where your children will be, that should transform you right now to become the Esthers of our time. Okay? For such a time as this, to make sure that we do all we can within our God-given ability to raise our children to love and adore and honor Christ and not walk away from him because the world tells them something different.
Amen. And it begins at home. It begins in our lives. Like our kids will walk away from our religion. But when they watch mom and dad pursue loving God with all their being and loving others with Christ's love and keeping short account of our own sin, you know, I'm reading the book right now, Respectable Sins. And it's like, we have so many sins that are just, quote, respectable sins that we don't allow the Spirit to convict us of. We excuse them and we think we're doing okay. We're living, you know, compared to other Christians around us, we're doing okay, but we're not comparing ourselves to the holiness of God. And when we come to a place of saying, I want, Lord, you to reflect in my life so that my kids have an appetite to know God. You know, the word glorify God means to reflect his character. If in Isaiah, God says he created us for his glory, if he created us to live in a manner that reflects his character, that's the light that God can use to draw our children to Christ, not our religious ritual, not our hypocrisy for, you know, pretending we're one thing at church and coming home and being something completely different. 75% of teenagers walk away from the church. And the number one reason is hypocrisy in their Christian homes.
Yes. And, you know, I recently read John Wesley who said, I learned more from my mother about Christianity than all the theologians in England.
Yes, I'm actually Moms Raising Sons to Be Men. My book, I have a big section about Susanna Wesley and raising her two. She had like 15 kids. She has the story, yes. But I right now am listening to the audiobook of John Wesley's life. And this woman did not have an easy life. I mean, she lost kids. She had 15 children. She lost babies. Their house burned down when people didn't like the message her husband was preaching. They burned her house down. I mean, this woman's life was not easy, but through those trials, what her children saw was a genuine pursuit and love for Christ. And she taught it to her kids. That's incredible testimony.
So you see that's from her mother to her. And then John Wesley speaks about his mother.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's passed down from generation to generation.
Amen. So you talk about preparing the soil and planting a seed. You want to explain that to us?
Yes. When from the womb to age three, I call that preparing the soil. So, you know, in God's word, it says Psalm 78:6, teach even to the children yet to be born. And then Psalm 51:6 says, yet you desired faithfulness. Even in the womb, you taught me wisdom in that secret place. Well, what does that mean? Well, at 18 weeks of pregnancy, babies can hear in the womb and they even react towards faces that are familiar to them that they can see kind of through the womb. It's like, you know, whatever, just transparent that you can see. And so you can start right then and there singing songs about Jesus, using the name of Jesus, volunteering at a daycare center. Let your children hear other children singing songs of Jesus. Then when they're infants, continue to volunteer, because we know daycare centers, you know, Christian daycare centers and Christian nursery schools, they need volunteers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, continue to volunteer, let your baby hear and see all the sounds. And then when they go on their first day to attend themselves, there's no tears. Mm-hmm. Plus you're preparing that soil. Another thing I talk about is, say you have a child who is nursing or drinking a bottle. You know, they scream when they're hungry, right? They're screaming, they're hungry. And you put that bottle in and all of a sudden, what do you hear? Cooing, you know, cooing noises. Mm-hmm. And what you can say is simply, you know, Johnny, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You're connecting their needs being met with the name of Jesus.
I love that.
Or you have a toddler who's looking in at, you know, at his reflection in the mirror, or a 6-month-old and they're giggling. You say, Sarah, Jesus loves you. You're so pretty. Jesus made you and Jesus loves you. Now you're connecting their happy emotions with the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then as toddlers, instead of saying, the example I'd like to give is, instead of saying, let's take a nap, you say, let's take a Sabbath's rest. Now they don't understand what the true meaning of the word Sabbath is, but you're building a category and a vocabulary in their mind of the word Sabbath. So this is all from the womb to age 3. Now from 4 to 7, when you start teaching them the true meanings of what Sabbath means, you're planting seeds into rich soil that can grow deep roots. Mm-hmm. And from 4 to 7 is when, listen, this is when children really explode in their learning. That's why a 5-year-old can speak 2 languages or a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. 90% of their brain is fully functioned by the age of 5. And so this is the these first, 7 years is in God's economy is a form of completion. Mm-hmm. So we take that to build the foundation. And then from ages 8 to 13, we build upon that foundation that we've laid. And George Barna says in his book that a worldview starts to form around 15 months and is solidified around 13 years of age. Wow. So we do all we can to the best of our ability.
Yes.
And it's never too late. It's never too late either. So
never too late.
No mommy guilt. No mommy guilt.
That's right. And my oldest son did not come to our family till he was 15 years old. So you have a stepson, a foster child, adopted child. If they're in your home and they're in your care, they're under your influence. It's God's timing that he put them there. And if you've raised them and you have not been applying these principles, well, now you're responsible for what the Lord is teaching you. And now before God, you can say, help me apply what I'm learning. Get this book, Raising Christian Kids, and apply these principles. One of the things that I talk about in my Mom's Raising Sons book is how, you know, Jochebed had to give her son Moses over after she was done nursing him to a woman who worshiped cats, who was ungodly influence. Can you imagine? I mean, the woman who loved Yahweh was giving her child to the influence of Pharaoh's palace. And yet think of those years that she would have had Moses as she nursed him, as she sang to him of Yahweh. So important that you have imprinted on your young ones. That means you don't just stick them in any old daycare. If you've got to go to work, if you don't just have them be babysat with someone that doesn't have a biblical worldview, if you want to partner with the caregiver of your child, ask the Lord to send you a grandmother, a cousin, an aunt, a sister, a friend, someone that is going to come alongside of you and help impart that biblical worldview to your child when they are in their care. I love that. So how can we start teaching our biblical principles, and what age does a worldview start to form? You kind of shared that already at 15 months. And then a strong spiritual foundation. It's so important to fight against the anti-Christian culture. Talk about that.
Well, you know, look what we're faced with today. You know, the phones are destroying our children, mm-hmm. literally killing our children. The suicide rate, anxiety rate amongst teens is off the roof. Mm-hmm. Then we have TV. You cannot turn on a television anymore without seeing something that is totally anti-biblical. And then you have children attending school where they're being taught from their they're being taught from other kids what is true.
Right. Or what they've seen on the internet.
Or what they've seen on the internet. Yeah. So this is why it's so important. In my book, I have a chapter about apologetics. It kind of teaches the lot in my book, the parents will learn a great deal also, and then they'll learn how to teach their children. So I have a chapter on apologetics, which, you know, as you know, means a verbal defense for what we believe. We're not apologizing for what we believe, but it's a verbal defense, a loving verbal defense of why we believe what we believe. And so the times we're living in, Greg Kokel says, the times we're living in calls for drastic measures. Yeah. So we really need to really stand up and take control of how we're raising our children, parents, grandparents, ministry leaders, church pastors, aunts and uncles. Let's win our children back. You know, God says our children are the arrows in our quiver. Well, an arrow is made back then and still is today very precise. It is created perfect. So what does the archer do with the arrow? He shoots it to kill his enemy. God is saying our children are our arrows. They are the ones that are going to fight the enemy. They are our future.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, said, well, actually, Aristotle said, give me a child until the age of 7 and I'll have him for his lifetime. Well, Hitler, Stalin and Mussolini thought the same thing.
Right. Beware. And that's why let's talk about your Sea Kids TV show. You can go to seakidstv.com and you can pull up some amazing episodes of these adorable little sea creatures that have the best biblical values, the stories on those, what we want to be exposing our kids to. We're not cringing and hoping our child didn't pick up the subtle, deception in those cartoons yes. that they're watching now. And so this, you can be completely content to know they're getting a biblical worldview. And I love knowing that. Go to seakids.com and you can actually watch some of the episodes, but you can also download.
Well, you can't watch them on, so you can watch them on Right Now Media, okay. PureFlix, Answers TV, and Go Minnow. You okay. can buy the DVDs on the website, and you can buy the books. And then go. We have curriculum that covers all 7 books and all 26 episodes that churches are using as supplemental curriculum to their Bible. Because the Sea Kids helps children understand how to live out the biblical principles we're trying to instill in them in real life situations. Mm-hmm. So as you're watching an episode, you'll hear the mother say, well, you know, Corey, the Apostle Paul says, and then she repeats the Bible verse. Mm-hmm. So, and it's real life situations that kids are facing. I would someday I hope we could have free to everybody, but.
Yeah, right, but it is awesome. But I've seen three episodes every once in a while.
There is one.
If you follow, is it Sea Kids that you follow on Instagram or is
well,
it?
No, if you go to YouTube, there's one available, Unique Gifts. Okay. And you can watch that for free. And then sometimes we do snippets that we send out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the producer, P23 Entertainment, they own the series. Okay. And they license it out to, like I said, Right Now Media, PureFlix, Answers TV, and Go Minnow.
Great. Well, go find it and order the DVDs. And like I say, I've got 15 grandkids. They love the books and the colors are just so bright and the message is just wonderful. So, real quick, we only have like 3 minutes left. Tell us about the specific Bible characters whose parents adhered to the commandment of Deuteronomy 6:4-9.
Yeah, this is important. So we always go to God's word to find out what we need to do and how to do it. Well, if you think about it, what does Jeremiah, Samuel, Timothy, Paul all have in common? They were taught from infancy. Mm-hmm. The parents didn't wait to think, well, I'm going to wait until they get a little bit bigger so they'll understand. No, they taught them from infancy, mm-hmm. and that's what we need to do.
Amen. And, you know, I was just thinking, I was at an outreach in San Francisco, and it was a bunch of homeless people. My son was playing in a band outside at Union Square Plaza. And when they were all gathered around, we were giving them free food. When they played the song, Jesus Loves Me, tears of these homeless people all across the stands just started crying. Someone had sung Jesus Loves Me to them as a child, and yes. it pierced those hard hearts and they heard it again. So yeah, start from the time they're very young. Raising kids to follow Christ is thoughtful and it takes a deep dive into scripture, but it's also filled with practical advice. That's what I love about it. What's your biggest piece of advice for parents and other caregivers as they start to build this spiritual foundation in their children?
Pray, rely on the Holy Spirit to guide you, and don't have any mommy or daddy guilt. If you mm-hmm. haven't, I didn't do half the stuff that's in my book when I was raising my kids. Mm-hmm. So don't have it. Feel guilty if you haven't done it. Erwin Lutzer talks about they found 4,000-year-old seeds in the tombs of the Egyptians. They planted them, they watered them, they gave them sunshine, and they grew. So that's it's amazing. Never too early and it's never too late. And just do it organically day by day, as God says, when you rise up, when you walk along the path, when you lie down, invite Jesus into everything you do in your home.
Amen. And find old ladies because they're the mentors. They're the tightest two women that God has said, teach the younger how to love their husbands and love their children. And the best way we can love our children and our husbands is to live out what we believe, a genuine life of passion for Christ. And I love this book, Raising Kids to Follow Christ. Please get yourself a copy. And then I am an author, so I understand. If you get this book, please go jump on there and write a review for Leanne. You could write one for me too. I'd appreciate it. But on my book, because authors are always like, hey, could you just write me a book review? Because that's how people decide if they're going to read the book. And it is a great resource.
And so, I love your book.
Thank you so much. It's fun. And it's been fun serving alongside of you. We've been at some events together. I believe God's going to have us be at more, and we will see how he opens those doors. But thank you so much for joining us. I want to close in prayer. Father, you know the children that are represented by the viewers and the listeners today. Lord, I pray for the grandchildren. I pray for the ones that you have given to the moms and the grandmothers and the caregivers that are watching or listening today. Lord, give us discernment. Your word says you have not because you ask not. We are asking for wisdom and discernment to raise up a generation in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to raise up arrows that will shoot straight at the enemy's heart, and that you will entrust in their generation to follow Christ and to live in a manner worthy of their calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much. And you can go to raisingkids.com, raisingchristiankids.com to find out more about the book, to find out about Leanne, follow her podcast at Raising Kids to Follow Christ. Thanks so much for joining us today, Leanne. It's been so great. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.